on the beach of the Western Sea, that had been. And here he was again, not only back, but 10 years younger. While I, Roland thought, feel at least 1,000 years older. Yet that was not really true. Yes, he was now suffering, finally, the ills an old man could reasonably expect. But he had a quartet to protect again, and not just any quartet, but one of gunslingers. And they had refreshed his life in a way he never would have expected. It all meant something to him again, not just the Dark Tower, but all of it. So he wanted Andolini to come, and if he killed Andolini in this world, he had an idea Andolini would stay dead. Because this world was different. It had a resonance all the others, even his own, lacked. He felt it in every bone and every nerve. Roland looked up and saw exactly what he expected, clouds in a line. At the rear of the barren acre, a path slipped into the woods, its head marked by a pair of good-sized granite rocks. And here the gunslinger saw herringbone patterns of shadows, overlapping, but all pointing the same way. You had to look to see it, but once seen, it was unmistakable. As in the version of New York where they had found the empty bag in the vacant lot, and Susanna had seen the vagrant dead, this was the true world, the one where time always ran in a single direction. They might be able to hop into the future if they could find a door, as he was sure Jake and Callahan had done, for Roland also remembered the poem on the fence and now understood at least part of it. But they could never return to the past. This was the true world, the one where no roll of the dice could ever be taken back, the one closest to the Dark Tower. And they were still on the path of the beam. John led them onto the way into the woods, and quickly down it, away from the rising pillars of thick dark smoke and the approaching whine of the sirens. 4. They hadn't gone even a quarter of a mile before Eddie began seeing blue glints through the trees. The path was slippery with pine needles, and when they came to the final slope, the one leading down to a long and narrow lake of surpassing loveliness, Eddie saw that someone had built a birch railing. Beyond it was a stub of dock jutting out into the water. Tied to the dock was a motorboat.
"That's mine," John said. "I come over from groceries and a bite of lunch. Didn't expect no excitement."
"Well, you got it," Eddie said.
"Yeah, it's a true thing. Mind this last bit if you don't want to go on your keister."
John went nimbly down the final slope, holding the rail for balance and sliding rather than walking. On his feet was a pair of old, scuffed work boots that would have looked perfectly at home in Midworld, Eddie thought. He went next himself, favoring his bad leg. Roland brought up the rear. From behind them came a sudden explosion, as sharp and limber as that first high-powered rifle shot, but far louder.
"That'll be Chip's propane," John said.
"Cry pardon?" Roland asked.
"Gas," Eddie said quietly. "He means gas."
"Yeah, stove gas," John agreed.
He stepped into his boat, grabbed the Evinrude starter cord, gave it a yank. The engine, a sturdy little 20-horse sewing machine of a thing, started on the first pull.
"Get in here, boys, and let's us vacate the area," he grunted.
Eddie got in. Roland paused for a moment to tap his throat 3 times. Eddie had seen him perform this ritual before when about to cross open water, and reminded himself to ask about it. He never got the chance. Before the question occurred to him again, death had slipped between them. 5. The skiff moved as quietly and as gracefully over the water as any motor-powered thing can, skating on its own reflection beneath a sky of summer's most pellucid blue. Behind them, the plume of dark smoke sullied that blue, rising higher and higher, spreading as it went. Dozens of folk, most of them in shorts or bathing costumes, stood upon the banks of this little lake, turned in the smoke's direction, hands raised to shade against the sun. Few, if any, marked the steady and completely unshowy passage of the motorboat.
"This is Keewatin Pond, just in case you were wondering," John said.
He pointed ahead of them, where another gray tongue of dock stuck out. Beside this one
was a neat little boathouse, white with green trim, its overhead door open.